This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Let's do this thing!
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
My grandmother's name was Giovanna Domenica Tavanero. When she'd get mad, she'd start spewing in Italian. I never knew what she was talking about.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Ben Pyle with a monster jam! He says in your face, Derby!
College basketball.
Kemba Walker, step back, Walker, cardiac Kemba! Does it again! UConn wins at the buzzer!
Everything happening in the sports world.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
I mean, they'd take one look at me and they'd say, next! Whatever happened to Ethel?
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me as always, a sun therapy but cold sun therapy filled Steve Sell.
Exactly.
Steve. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon.
Did you enjoy your weekend?
Yes, I did. Bullpup Championship, then a little golf on Sunday. And
that was about the coldest round of golf I've ever played.
Well,
I didn't even play with you.
Yeah, and we teed off a little earlier when it was still about 48 or so and no wind. But, boy, by the time we got done, it was around about 38, and it got a little frigid there at the end.
That didn't help my game. If it would have been 98 with a big wind exactly behind me on every single hole, I don't think it would have helped a whole lot either. But we had a fun weekend of sports. It was a long weekend, again. And we enjoyed the tournaments, but we will also enjoy getting back into the regular routine of not sitting in a gym for 10 hours every single day.
Yeah,
we enjoy it for these 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But if you had to do it every weekend, it'd be long.
Yeah, because you and I go out early, you know, preparation. We go out to the roundhouse about 2 o'clock, a little after two, leave there about 9:30, 9:45. Then, of course, we both come down to the office to do. So it's like 9 hours after we've already had a regular day. So another 30 hours extra onto the week. But
and we got to talk to the people, too.
Oh, I'll tell you what, it was unbelievable how many people came up to you or came up to me and said how big of fans they are of the ATJ show, and said, "Boy, we really like what you're doing, and you guys are funny, and that Steve
they
guy
might have been kidding about
Steve
that.
Guy doesn't know anything.
That
you know,
Steve guy's not smart.
That Steve guy doesn't know anything, but which is probably true. But
I got up to go to the bathroom like 20 minutes before the championship game, and I went, okay, I've got plenty of time. And I'm walking up the stairs, and I get stopped by like three people. They're like, hey, we always are listening to 12:30. We've got you cranked up. And then I go to the bathroom. I'm coming back out. People say, Jim, According to Jim.
Yeah, why?
And Paul and Jesse are walking by.
Oh, yeah,
saying,
Paul and
hey.
Jesse. Oh, yeah, they're two of our favorite guys.
We felt like celebrities, even though we're not.
And you know, I'm walking up the stairs, and all of a sudden, somebody grabs my jacket, about pulls me down, and it's a nice elderly woman, and she says, I listen to you guys every day, you know, and just like, oh, good. I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, it was just great that the peeps out there are really taken to the show, and hopefully we're providing them a 30 minutes out of their day where they can have a little fun. And
well, we're going to have some fun today.
Oh,
Steve
okay.
is not aware of it yet, but we're going to have some fun, and we will do that in our next segment. We've also got KU and K-State to talk about in the Sunflower Showdown Part 2 tonight. Over at the Octagon of Doom. I thought about it yesterday. I went, you know, I think I would have enough time if I wanted to go up there and watch the game. It's Big Monday. It's at 8 o'clock. But I figured it might be a little bit too much work. I'm just going to sleep instead.
There you go.
So we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. But the hot topic of the weekend, the Bullpup girls winning the Mid-America Classic title for the first time in 6 years since 2012.
6 years.
Make
sure it's 6 years, but the emphasis on six.
It was a really fun weekend, and the thing that I took away from it last night when I really sat down and started to think back through the weekend, that was their best three-game stretch of the season. And I was going back and looking at any other three-game stretch that they could have played. They played a pretty good three-game stretch against Derby, Miege, and Abilene, but then they didn't finish that end of that three-game stretch all that well with not playing a great game against Andover in the one before the break, and then didn't play a great game against Buehler. They had some decent games in the middle there in January, but to string together three games like that, and not against Winfield, not
6A.
Against Buehler, not against those schools.
Three 6A schools.
They beat two Sunflower League schools, Shawnee Mission South, Olathe South, and the 6A defending state champion.
That has most of its players back from that championship
and
team.
And a Division I wing player at 6'1" that can shoot and knock down shots from anywhere on the floor when she was getting hot. This was not only their best three games defensively, but I thought overall, team basketball, this was their best three-game stretch by a lot, and it really wasn't that close. Now, they didn't shoot, and this is something we talked with Coach Strathman about in the postgame. They had a bad night shooting in the championship game against Manhattan.
What was it, 4 of 24 from 3?
When they shoot like that, this team shouldn't be able to beat a very good Manhattan team. But the thing we talked about, there might be this perception somewhere up near Kansas City in the state. There might be this perception from other schools around this area. All the Bullpup girls do is shoot threes. That's all they do. They have Taylor Robertson. They live and die by the three. But that's not the case. And that's the point I've been trying to make with Coach Strathman, is this is a team that does more than that. They score inside. They drive to the basket. They pressure you on defense. They force turnovers. And when they make the three, they're impossible to beat. And that's why the other night, even though they made four threes, and they've had games where they've made 12 this year, they were not going to get beat because of everything else they did well.
The team dynamic has changed. The return of Mandy Cooks has just totally changed this team. For one thing, if the ball goes in, Mandy is a great passer out of the double team in the post. But, you know, the first two nights, she was a little bit in a hurry. You know, she was anxious. She was right. You know, she couldn't wait.
I was anxious for her.
Yeah, I think everybody was. Of course, she got a great ovation on Thursday when she came into the game. But you could just see it on Saturday. She slowed down. She took her time. And you could just see what an inside presence she is. 6 for 6 from the field. She had 11 points in the first half, 9 in the second quarter when the Bullpups really needed them to get out to that 8-point lead when Christiana Carr got her third foul with 4:50 to go. The Bullpups went on a tear. They opened up an 8-point lead, got it up to 16 or 18 at one point, 42-24. And, of course, Manhattan's too good a team not to make a run. They did make a run, but I thought it was appropriate that Taylor Robertson knocked down 6 free throws in a row. Mandy hit 2. So between the two seniors in the last minute of the game, they were 8 for 8 from the line. That's what you expect from your seniors. But, boy, does this change the dynamic. Mandy Cook's coming back. Now, she's not all the way back. You know, she will be at some point. But right now, she's probably about 80% of the way back. But, boy, you could just, when she got that ball down the post and made that drop step move and banked it off the glass like she always did last year. Yeah, she's pretty tough to stop. And the other thing was, the Bullpups use so many players. Their bench, just phenomenal. I mean, what can you say about Maggie Leaf? Emma Ruddle, of course, Mandy coming off the bench, but I don't consider her a reserve because she just didn't start the game.
She's the best reserve in the state.
Yeah, third team All-State last year coming off the bench.
She's like James Harden as the sixth man for that Thunder team.
And I can see what Coach Stradman's doing. You know, you start the same five. That's they're comfortable with. What Mandy does coming off the bench, the defense is a little tired. You know, after 4 minutes, she comes in for her sister Cassie, who had a fantastic tournament too. But Mandy's going up against a defense that's worn down a little bit. And, I mean, the quickness she has with that first step around the basket and that drop step that she has, she is tough to stop. And the Bullpups now, finally, they've got their whole unit together. And just show, you know, you looked at Coach Stradman had to sit two players. He could only suit up 12. He has 14 really good players.
Yeah.
And he had to sit a couple each night. I know he didn't want to. Now now the rest of the season, he can suit up whatever he wants, but man, our second nine, I guess it would be, boy, they could play. They could beat a lot of teams. We talked about that before. Our bench could be right now the second best. You put Mandy with that second group, they're better than Circle. I mean, we are 1-1A in Division 3 of the AVCTL with Mandy coming off the bench.
And 20 points per game off the bench this weekend, 60 points in three games. That is really impressive. And the other point that I wanted to make today is that this is a really weird way this season is divided up, because you see the PMC or the let's go with BMC.
Before Mandy Cooks.
Yes. And then you see
the AFC.
The AMC, not the movie theater.
Yeah, AMC.
You see what they can do pre-Mandy Cooks, before Mandy Cooks? 9-1, you take the defending state champion and 1 million times in a row state champion, Bishop Mie Stags. You see what they can do against them. They lose just by 8 and play really a great game against a team that is post-dominant.
Right.
When you see the AMC and what's going to happen for this team since she makes the move at the 10-game mark, mm-hmm. they were 9-1 before her.
Right.
Now she gets back in. There is a very good team, BMC.
Mm-hmm.
AMC, this is a great team.
And the thing is, the game, that's why the game with Newton on at Newton on Monday, I think, is a very important game for the Bullpups. It's going to be a hostile environment. It's a girls-only game. Newton got throttled by Miege in the championship game of the Newton Invitational.
It was like 50-24,
and you have to remember,
right?
We played, it was 60, God, it was really bad. It was like 30 points. But you also have to remember, Miege was missing the Verhulst, one of the Verhulst girls.
Right, so
The older one, and she's a very good player. So both teams, should they meet again, which I really think it's either if it's in the semis or in the finals at state, just depending how the records fall, both teams will be at full strength. We'll really get to see the true measuring stick because, let's face it, I think with Mandy full strength at Miege and them without Verhulst, the one Verhulst goal, we beat them. McPherson wins that game. There is no doubt in my mind because Hawthorne would not have gone crazy against Mandy Cooks like she did, you know, against our younger. And that was only the third game of the season for our younger players. So they were still kind of finding their footing a little bit. But that's why if McPherson can go down to Newton and say win by 10, Newton's a very good team and with great athletes and playing at home with a big crowd. And McPherson may not have that big a crowd. I just think that is huge because after that Newton game, I know Circle has only lost one game. I don't know what they did in their tournament, but going in the last weekend, they'd lost one game. They're ranked fourth in the state. We get Circle at home. We beat them by 25 on the road. And I think with Mandy, we drill them at home. And the other games are going to be walkovers. El Dorado.
Great Ben, Beulah, El Dorado. Geez,
they're going to be bad. El Dorado.
95-24.
Even at Augusta, I just don't see Augusta unless Marlney just goes crazy. And you know, we have had a bad shooting night at Augusta in the past when we really struggled down there. But I just don't see the McPherson girls, other than the Newton game, having any trouble.
A lot about their sub-state this weekend, too.
Oh, yeah. And, boy, I know you probably feel like I do after seeing Hayes and Ulysses, and we've already seen Buehler. It's going to take an act of God for one of those teams to pull an upset because Buehler, we've clock run them. Ulysses had two games where it didn't even score 10 points.
They had
four points in the first half. And Hayes had a game where they scored 7 points in a half, and Hayes did not win a game in our tournament. So I think we got a pretty good idea on the sub-state and the sub-states of McPherson. And, you know, on sub-state Saturday, this place will be – if you think it was loud the last two weekends, our fans really get geared up for sub-state. They will come out. It'll be SRO. The SRO sign will be out, standing room only.
I'm sure Coach Strathman loves our talking about games that'll be happening on March 3rd, but we are excited, and this was a fun weekend where we got to see where this team could go and what they can be, because this past weekend, they were great. I mean, that was greatness.
And what some things we don't mention. Lakin Schieffer at point guard. Very, very solid.
Yeah.
And she showed her mid-range game. You know, she can pull up and hit that 12-footer. Either girls shoot layups or they shoot threes. Lakin's kind of an exception to the rule. And then you got Riley Hett and Emma Ruddle at that one wing spot. They basically are 1 and 1A at that one wing spot because they are so good defensively. Riley Hett just goes nonstop. I mean, she just goes until she can't go any longer. Then you bring in Emma Ruddle with her athleticism, and she had a 12-point game in this tournament. And I still think, I've said it all year, Emma Ruddle is a big piece to the puzzle here. So you got that. Then you have the three-headed monster in the middle with the two Cook sisters and Maggie Leaf. And then you got Taylor Robertson. Of course, she's going to be the best player
she's
on the floor.
Bad.
She's going to be the best player on the floor in every game. I mean, stepping onto the floor before the game, you know you've got your the best player on the floor. And Coach Kinnaman always says, I always like my chances if I have the best player in the game.
Well, it was a fun weekend. We got to see the Bullpups win the Mid-America Classic, not only for the first time in 6 years since 2012, but also both teams win their tournaments 6-0 during tournament season for the first time since 2006.
Right, and that's, you know, I went back and researched that. That kind of surprised me. I just didn't realize it had been 12 years since both teams won their tournaments at the same time. That's very unusual. So, been a long time coming. And the thing is, they beat great fields. I was a little disappointed. I will say, for the records the girls had, I was a little disappointed in some of those teams. But the boys' tournament, boy, those were a lot of good teams. Those were a lot of good teams. But really, the three, McPherson, Manhattan, Olathe South, I know I was disappointed in. I thought they'd be a little better.
I didn't mind.
Yeah, but and then they got beat for third.
Yeah.
Wichita Northwest, which I guarantee you nobody picked Wichita Northwest to be in the top three. I mean, I unless Dietrich Sanders, our coach, did. Maybe he thought they could get third. But that just stunned me. Wichita Northwest beating Olathe South. Olathe South had one girl get a tooth knocked out, and then the nice player, Winslow, the really good player, was wearing a mask. She got a ball smacked. She got smacked right in the face or on her nose. And I hope she didn't re-injure that nose. So, anyway, great tournament. Manhattan was worthy. 3 6-foot girls. The Wilson girl played great despite a broken hand. So I heard a rumor that she was going to have her hand pinned, or they were going to put something in her hand today or tomorrow. But Manhattan, don't be surprised if they win Class 6A. But I'm not sure, after watching them, I'm not sure they'll beat Derby. I think Derby's – they played in the state championship game last year. I still like Derby. I think with Kennedy Brown and Torre Alford and the Myers girl, they're pretty good. And I think right now Derby's probably the best team in 6A.
All right, let's take a break after our long talk about the Mid-America Classic this weekend. When we come back, we've got a special segment where we got to keep Steve up to date on his pop culture.
Uh-oh.
So don't go anywhere. You're
that
listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You are listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, pressing all sorts of wrong buttons here as we are getting the week going. Steve, we have been talking about a lot of basketball, a lot of sports over the last, I don't know what, 2 months, 3 months. I think that we need to take a little break away from that and talk about some pop culture. The important thing for me that I talk about all the time, I'm a sports guy, but I think to really be a good sports person, you have to have a grasp of other things that are happening. Where if all I did was read about the Royals, then I wouldn't have a very good grasp on things. So you try to keep up to date with what the kids are doing, what's going on in pop culture. And last night is a staple of things that happen in pop culture. It was the Grammys.
Okay.
Were you aware the Grammys were happening last night, Steve?
Yeah, because I was watching golf, and they were all upset because the golf was running into the Grammys pregame show. Holy cow, I can't believe that. In fact, they moved the golf to the golf channel, which fortunately I have because I'm sitting here watching that tournament. I want to see how it ends. Of course, it didn't end because it didn't end until this morning. They had to go out and keep going after the playoff with Jason Day. Did win the playoff for those that were watching that
tournament. No vertigo?
No vertigo for Jason Day. He won the sixth extra hole. But I do know the Grammy. I did not watch the Grammys. I think I was Shark Tanking at that point.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Steve's a big Shark
I love
Tank
the Shark Tank show.
Big
I like
Mark Cuban guy.
Well, I like Lori Grenier because if I was on that show, I would go with her no matter what because she makes money.
Well, one of the headlines last night, Steve, was these Grammys were pretty much swept by Mr. Bruno Mars. What do you know about Bruno Mars?
He wears sunglasses all the time.
All the time?
Well, pretty much. Doesn't he wear sunglasses all the time?
I don't know if I've... Well, I can picture him wearing sunglasses.
He's like from Hawaii or something.
Yeah, I think he is from Hawaii.
Okay.
He's a short little guy.
I can relate to that. But I couldn't tell you one thing that Bruno Mars does. I have no idea. I'd know as much about Bruno Mars as I'd know about Bruno Saturn.
Well, I don't know who Bruno Saturn is.
Well, there's Bruno Mars. I figured there was Bruno Saturn.
Oh, that was pretty creative. Mm-hmm. Well, he won Album of the Year as well as Record of the Year for his album titled 24 Karat Magic.
Was Skinner in there?
Skinner was not in this one. I'll let you listen to a little bit of 24 Karat Magic. Have you heard this song?
No.
It's pretty popular. I mean, there's a reason that this was Album of the Year, Record of the Year.
If Skinner wasn't in there, you know, how can they have a category without Lynyrd Skynyrd? Of course, Skinner probably hadn't done anything.
I think half of them are dead.
Oh, okay.
Well, but maybe that's part of the problem.
Okay.
So this was one of the songs that helped him win Album of the Year, Record of the Year.
I can't understand. I don't know a word he's saying, so I don't know how you can understand any of the lyrics.
All right, well, how about this? So 24 Karat Magic, that was one of his other popular songs. Now, this song by Bruno Mars was named Song of the Year. This is called That's What I Like. You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all. And I'm gonna give it to you. You like this?
Sounds just like the last song.
This is the Song of the Year. Steve.
They sound the same to me.
Misty's out there jamming. That's What I Like.
Okay, what did Tom Petty win?
Well, I'm sure he got some award for dying. I don't know.
Well, Tom Petty should have won something.
Well, the problem is most of his music came out in the 80s, so that's part of the problem that hurts there. So that was Bruno Mars,
okay.
That's What I Like.
That's not anything you'll hear on this station.
But it is what you like. It also is what Bruno Mars likes.
Okay.
Okay, how about the best new artist?
Okay, I wouldn't know.
It is Alessia Cara. Are you familiar with Alessia Cara?
Did she do Flashdance?
No, that would not probably make
Irene,
her the
that's
best
Irene
new
Cara.
Artist.
All right.
And then Best Pop Solo Performance. Are you familiar with Ed Sheeran?
He's got that Trump color hair kind of.
Trump colored hair?
Doesn't he?
Well, he has a little ginger to
him. He's the guy that sings real fast or something.
This is it. What do you think of this?
I thought that was Bruno Mars. Sounds like Bruno Mars.
No, this is Ed Sheeran. He's British. And this is his song called Shape of You. He's in love with the shape of you, and he's in love with your body.
I don't know.
You're not a big Ed Sheeran fan.
No, he looks kind of like Howdy Doody, though, I think.
I don't think I know how to respond to that. All right, best rap song. Do you know much about Kendrick Lamar?
No.
He's pretty popular.
There was a Lamar used to play basketball, and Dwight Lamar used to make a bunch of threes. That's the only Lamar I know.
Well, Kendrick Lamar's song called Humble, it was named the best rap song.
I don't even know what he's saying.
Kendrick Lamar, remember, he performed at halftime.
I thought he was a when I've heard Kendrick Lamar, I thought he was a college basketball player.
It's what about like Lamar Odom?
Okay.
But this is Kendrick Lamar. And most people think Kendrick Lamar is the best rapper out there right now.
Okay, well.
He won Best Rap Song. So you're not a big fan of that?
I don't know who he is.
So he not only won Best Rap Song, but also won Best Rap Album.
I think he's the guy they were saying that he got the shaft in the awards and everyone's all upset and...
Well, he won.
I wouldn't know, but he didn't win like the Song of the Year.
People thought that should have been Song of the Year. People thought that his album titled Damn should be the Album of the Year. It is spelled Damn, period, all capitalized.
I thought it was like Hoover Dam or something like that.
All right, what do you think of the group called LCD Sound System? Would you take a guess at what type of genre of music they make?
I don't know. I have no clue. I would say reggae.
Well, I don't know much about LCD Sound System. I had not heard of them, but their song titled Tonight was the best dance recording. What do you think about this? It's not for you?
Not for me.
But can't you imagine dancing around?
I'd pull a hammy.
Nobody can see it right now, but Steve is up on his feet, dancing a little bit, doing a song right now.
Not hardly.
That was the best dance recording. And then finally, we'll wrap it up with the best pop duo and group performance.
Sonny and Cher.
They were a pretty good pop duo and group performance.
Okay.
But this one was won by the band titled Portugal the Man with their song called Feel It Still. This has been a pretty popular song.
These songs all sound alike.
What would you guess? Would you guess this is a man or a woman singing?
That's a man.
It is a man, you're right.
Falsetto.
I'm a big fan of this band, Steve. I saw them live back this summer.
Okay. Sounds like the Gibbs, the Gibb brothers.
They do have a little Gibb in
them. Yeah.
But this is Portugal the Man, Feel It Still. That was the best pop duo in group performance. So, Steve, the important thing about this segment, and some people might be going, well, why'd you do that, besides to just let Steve talk about Lynyrd Skynyrd when it was actually Ed Sheeran. The important thing is you get a little pop culture. You get to hear it. Where you now, if somebody says, what do you think about Kendrick Lamar? You can't go, well, I've never heard of that. Because that's not a good answer. You are a news guy. You are a writer. You are a sports guy. But you have to be plugged in a little bit to what's going on out there. And now you are. You know about Kendrick Lamar. You know about Bruno Mars. You already knew he's from Hawaii. That's pretty impressive.
Well.
And his sunglasses.
Yeah.
See, now, not only you, but I and everybody listening is a little more well-rounded.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Well, I guess you learn something new every day.
See?
Now, see,
go.
If you would have talked DACA, I'd been all over it. Because
well,
I follow politics.
That's a conversation for another day.
I do follow politics. That's the other thing that I do follow politics. I like politics.
Well, this is a politics-free show. Besides on my prop bets that I was putting together for the Super Bowl, the over-under of Donald Trump tweets on the day of the Super Bowl. The line was set at 5.5. Would you go above or would you stay under at 5.5?
If he's smart, he'll stay under. He just needs to stay out and just...
Well, the answer to that question should be saved for another day as well.
Right.
So we'll talk about our Super Bowl prop bets at the end of the week, and those should be pretty fun. We'll take one more break when we come back. KU, K-State at the Octagon of Doom tonight in Manhattan. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Ending today's According to Jim here on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. For those of you that are just now tuning in and may have missed some of that last segment where we catch Steve up on some of the pop culture as well as the Grammys from last night, you have a chance to
listen
to it.
You're probably lucky you didn't.
Well, for those of you that don't feel lucky that you missed out, you can always go back and listen on podcasts. You go online, you type into that computer machine, you type in www.soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. We have got 80 other episodes up there. We're getting old here, Steve.
Oh, yeah, and we still have a job.
Somehow. Our bosses are outside shaking their head at us and going, I can't believe you're playing all the Grammys music on our station. We might have driven out some listeners. Well, anyway, as we look ahead to the big matchup of the night, really the biggest matchup of the week in terms of the Big 12 conference schedule, and this is a swing game for the Big 12 standings. The KU Jayhawks are still alone in first place at 6-2. But the hottest team in the Big 12 right now, sitting in Manhattan, ready for a home game against their biggest rivals, the K-State Wildcats have got a great chance to win tonight and hop up into a tie for first place.
I'm picking them. I think they're going to win. I just think K-State's playing great right now. Beat Georgia. It was a real ugly game in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. But, you know, K-State had a great chance to win the first time, and they've played a few games since then. They're used to now with playing with Cartier Jara. I think he brings a lot of energy to the team. KU, you know, it's tough to go on the road. And in the Big 12, KU's actually done a great job. I think they're 3-1 on the road. If they could steal one at Manhattan tonight, that would probably end K-State's chances. K-State, I believe, has West Virginia maybe.
Yep.
On Saturday. And you got to figure they probably won't win there. So K-State, I'm always a big believer in the desperate team. Like, the other night when Oklahoma played KU, Oklahoma was in desperation mode. I think K-State's in desperation mode tonight, and they get the job done. I think Devontae Graham, you know, has just played 40 minutes after 40 minutes. He showed the fatigue on Saturday, shot it very poorly. I think K-State gets it done. I'm going to say about 72-69 Wildcats.
You mentioned the SEC Big 12 challenge from the weekend. Before the weekend, you predicted the Big 12 would go 6-4. And I kind of thought it would be an even 5-5 again like it was last year. But the two games that really swung this thing, number one was Vanderbilt beating TCU. And not only Vanderbilt beating TCU, but TCU falling apart at a Vanderbilt team that is not very good. That was a very important game for this challenge.
TCU doesn't have their point guard anymore. And when you don't have your point guard in a close game, it really comes back to haunt you. TCU, you know, they got off to that 12-0 start, and I think it was kind of a mirage.
I didn't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it was a mirage. It was a paper tiger type 12-0 start. They're kind of what we thought they are. We kind of figured maybe the middle of the pack in the Big 12, and that's really kind of what they are. The game that really disappointed me was West Virginia-Kentucky.
Yeah.
West Virginia at home with a 17-point lead against a Kentucky team that
wasn't even in the top 25.
Yeah, that can't shoot it very straight. I'm sure they're back in the top 25 this week. But Kentucky did not miss a free throw, which is hard to believe because they don't shoot the ball very well at all. So that game really disappointed me. KU did what I thought they would do. K-State did what I thought they would do. I thought Oklahoma would beat Alabama.
Alabama's a good team.
Yeah, I know they've got some good players. The Sexton kid, one of the top freshmen. But I really thought after beating KU, that would give OU some momentum. But they just didn't play very well. Trey Young, ever since Trey Young took those 39 shots, it's like he's morphed into this guy that hardly shoots the ball now. He didn't shoot it very much again. He scored, 18 or 19 points or something like that. But I think all the criticism of him taking 39 shots, I think it's really gotten to him. He doesn't seem like that confident player that he was. And, you know, it's the first time that he's had people criticizing him. He's been getting all these accolades, everyone saying he's the best player, he's the next Steph Curry. And then when he goes 14 of 39 in a game, man, did the so-called experts just came down on him like a ton of bricks. And I think it really bothered him, because now he's kind of passing up shots he would have taken earlier. And they're a different team. He still needs to take 25 shots for OU to be a really good team.
Another swing game in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. My Arkansas Razorbacks holding off the Pokes down there from Stillwater. Arkansas had a terrible game against them last year. They rematched with them. Oklahoma State had about 3 wide open looks at the basket in the last 5 seconds and missed them
all.
They're
not very good.
So woo pig. And I was a little bit surprised that the SEC came out on top, and some of the matchups weren't quite fair either, where like Texas playing Ole Miss. Ole Miss is terrible. And then you look at Texas Tech, South Carolina. That matchup is a little bit different this year than it was last year.
But it was at South Carolina. Texas Tech, good win for Texas Tech. They kind of need it because, you know, they got off to that really good start. They were 4-1 in the Big 12, but now they've kind of fallen back a little bit, and they're kind of what we thought they were going to be now.
Well, and Florida and Baylor on paper at the beginning of the season was a pretty big matchup, as well as Tennessee and Iowa State, but the Big 12 side of that has not been very good.
Baylor, Iowa State's just not good. They are not a good basketball team. They're going to miss the tournament for the first time since the mayor was there, and Baylor can't, other than LeCompte, they can't shoot. They play that funky zone, but they
play that funky music.
They're really long on defense, but they're just not the team they've been the last few years.
All right, before we get out of here, quickly, one more time, your thoughts on the game tonight. I'll do mine first. You've already said 72-69. I'll see if I can convince you otherwise. KU wins by 12.
Wow.
Don't know the score. I'm not good at predicting that. KU wins by 12.
I just don't see any way. It's going to be a double-figure game. Zvi, you know, he's going to be the target of the K-State people because of his traveling to win the game last year in Lawrence. And I just think that crowd is the difference tonight. I don't know if little Holly Rowe will be there. She'll get stampeded by the – and it'd be really interesting to see if K-State wins the game, will their fans charge the floor?
I think they've got other problems to worry about beating this KU team.
Will
Steve,
their fans,
I've said over and over again.
I know, but will the K-State fans charge the court? Because to me, when fans charge the court, that tells me they don't believe in their team, because they should believe in their team. When you're at home, you should win. In the big, every Big 12 team, when they're at home, they feel like they should win. So if the fans charge the court tonight, I think that tells that the fans really don't believe in their team quite yet.
KU by 12 is my guess here on today's
According to Jim. And I'm K-State by 3.
All right, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.